The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. What a Friday it is. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bill. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. We appreciate you taking us in this morning. Always happy to be part of your mornings. Live from Bar Canada at the D, Kelly Bidlin with a quarter zip. That was the sartorial choice this morning. How you doing?
It's pouring outside, man. Pouring.
Is it pouring or pouring? How do you say it?
Pouring.
Yeah, I go pouring, and I get a lot of flack for that.
Wait, I don't hear the difference.
You're
purring like a cat.
No, I'm more like pouring a drink. You're more like a pour of the skin. Yeah. It's a big debate. Big debate around.
Okay, so that's definitely that. I hear what you're saying. That is definitely two words I say exactly the same way.
Okay, all right. Just checking. I didn't think we'd start there, but that's where we are. College basketball. What a day. What a week. Dallin Cuff from ESPN and ESPN's Daily Wager will join us to discuss that as well. As will Chris Velika from Fox Sports. He's got some college hoops thoughts. Horse race. He's here for the horse racing handicapping contest.
I'm so like
National Horse Players Championship.
Intrigued slash pumped by that. Like, kind of want to go, but not really sure if I'm allowed. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
there's nothing to see.
Like, would I be immediately bored within like 11 minutes?
Yeah, 11. I'm gonna go 4. Jason Weingarten, Ben Wilson. Oh, now we're talking. The great Benny Wilson will be here. Talk college hoops. Maybe extract some college baseball thoughts from him as well. Since he's on the college baseball call, we'll replay his call from the Stephen F. Austin game the other night.
Oh,
Abilene
we will.
Christian, get his reaction.
He made the Today Show. I mean, Today Show, but the highlight made the Today Show.
Big time,
I don't know how many times you've been on the Today Show. I've been on the Today Show.
Let me think about that. it's going to be a zero.
Yeah.
It's going to be a zero. College hoops yesterday. We don't often do this where we go through every single game on the docket today and just give you the implications in terms of not only what the spreads are, but really who are the long shots still alive in each tournament, who last four in, last four out, next four out, those kind of implications on the heels of a day that saw Creighton go down, Duke go down, SC, who was a big sort of sexy long shot, went down hard yesterday. Not a lot of, who do you trust in all this? UConn, that's the list for me. That's absolutely the list. All right, so today, 36 basketball games strewn through, a plethora of conferences who are either in the quarters or in the semis. Let's do it just in alphabetical order. The American are in the quarters today. And, man, do they have a lot of long shots alive. East Carolina, an 80-1 shot to win this tournament. 7.5-point dogs against South Florida. Wichita State is a 90-1 dog pre-flop to win this tournament. The Shockers, 5.5-point dogs to UAB, who, by the way, in their own right, were 16-1 long shots to win this tournament. North Texas has taken on FAU. FAU is a 5.5-point favorite. FAU was the short shot to win this tournament at +185. And then Temple, 500-1. Pardon me, 500-1 in this tournament against Charlotte. Temple, not the longest shot in this tournament, Kelly, but the longest shot to have implications of shenanigans with points. And
yeah, won big last night, right?
Odds. Temple 500-1 in the quarters to win this tournament. Come on, Owls.
I feel like I should have bet them like twice already. Maybe I'll get involved today.
ACC semis. One of Joe Lenardi's last four out. Pitt, 12-1 shot to win this tournament. Going up against Carolina. Carolina, the short shot to win it at +150. Carolina's the 7.5-point favorite. NC State, the Wolfpack. As the vacuum begins, NC State 100-1 to win this tournament. The Wolfpack, 3.5-point dogs against Virginia. The Hoos are one of Lenardi's last four in. They were 19-1 themselves to win the ACC tournament. So a lot of implications there. Virginia making their case. Pitt trying to make their case in terms of getting into the big dance. A lot of people think NC State's going to win this game outright against Virginia, get to the ACC finals here. Big East semis, St. John's versus UConn. UConn, of course, big 9.5-point favorite. They were -135. Of course, the favorite to win the Big East tournament. And Providence, one of the last four out from Joe Lenardi. Providence trying to make their case to get to the big dance. They're 60-1, by the way, pre-flop to win the Big East tournament. They're 4.5-point dogs against Marquette. Speaking of some of these teams, we're going to be, I know we said we weren't going to update the championship formula till Monday again last time. We'll kind of say it here in the next segment. We'll kind of go to the championship formula.
I thought it was good at the end of this week to hit.
Yeah, because it's got some changes. Mm-hmm. Championship formula already. Big Ten quarters today. Michigan State against Purdue. Purdue was the short shot, of course, to win this tournament at even money. They're 7.5-point favorites against Tom Izzo's Sparties. Wisconsin, Northwestern. Wisconsin's 15-1 to win this tournament pre-flop. Northwestern was 16-1. The Badgers are 3.5-point favorites here. These are the quarters in the Big Ten, of course. Ohio State, speaking of Lunardi implications, they were a next four out team here. And they are a next four out team. The Buckeyes, 35-1 pre-flop to win the Big Ten tournament. They're 4.5-point dogs against the Illini today. A lot of people love Ohio State, as the vacuum is now in my left ear. Indiana 80-1. Maybe it's going to go on the table, Kelly, right after this. Indiana 80-1. By the way, it doesn't usually pierce my bubble, but this is so close. Indiana 80-1 to win this tournament pre-flop against Nebraska today. That's the final quarter.
We're going to make sure you get a haircut live on the air next segment.
Huskers are 3.5-point favorites in that ballgame. Big 12 semis, Texas Tech against Houston. Houston, of course, the short shot, or I should say the favorite to win this tournament at minus 135. Houston's 8.5-point favorites against Texas Tech today. Texas Tech was 20-1 pre-flop to win the Big 12 tournament. Baylor and Iowa State in the other semi. Iowa State a 1.5-point favorite. Big West, which is out here at the Dollar Loan Center Arena. Long Beach State, 11-1 pre-flop to win this tournament against UC Irvine. The Fighting Jason Weingartens, 6.5-point favorites in this game. They were the favorite to win the Big West, remain so. They were minus 200 before this tournament even started. Hawaii, a 1.5-point favorite against UC Davis in the other semi.
I'm seeing Irvine all the way out to 8.
Conference USA, UTEP and Sam Houston today. Sam Houston, a 4.5-point favorite. And Middle Tennessee, 65-1 pre-flop to win this tournament. 5.5-point dogs against Western Kentucky. Metro Atlantic semis today. St. Peter's and Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac, 1.5-point favorites in that ballgame. And Marist, plus 550 pre-flop to win this tournament versus Fairfield. The reason I bring up Marist is because this is a very chalky tournament. Marist is the longest shot of the quartet in this group. Mac, Kent State, Bowling Green today. Kent State's a 2.5-point favorite. Bowling Green was 14-1 before this tournament started. Ohio Akron, the other semi. Akron, 2.5-point favorites. They were the short shot, plus 155 to win this. Again, Dallin Cuff, Chris Felica, Ben Wilson with all their thoughts and ATS plays on these later on the show. But just want to set up all the games. MEAC, historically black colleges. Howard, the Bison. 2.5-point dogs against Norfolk State today. Norfolk State was the plus 180 short shot to win this tournament. Delaware State, a 10-1 pre-flopper in this tournament. 3.5-point dogs against NC Central in the other ballgame. Mountain West, near and dear to so many here at the network. San Diego State, 3.5-point favorites against Utah State. San Diego State was the plus 260 short shot to win this tournament. The other one, Colorado State. This is also a chalky semifinals. Colorado State plus 750, the longest shot left of the Mountain West semis. They're going up against New Mexico. Lunardi has New Mexico as a last four out. They are 2.5-point favorites against Colorado State today. So New Mexico making their case. Pac-12 semis. As I said, RIP USC for those who had long shot tickets on USC. Oregon against Arizona today. Arizona 11.5-point favorites. They're maybe the biggest favorite on the board all through college hoops today. They were minus 160. The Wildcats were to win this tournament the favorite. Oregon was 10-1 pre-flop. Again, Arizona 11.5-point favorites. And then Colorado, one of Joe Lunardi's last four in at the moment. Colorado 1.5-point favorite against Washington State in the other semi. SEC is in the quarters. Mississippi State, the 65-1 Mississippi State squad pre-flop in this tournament against Tennessee. Dalton Connect in Tennessee, who are 10.5-point favorites. Tennessee, of course, the plus 130 short shot to win the SEC tourney. South Carolina, 60-1 pre-flop against Auburn. Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers, 7.5-point favorites in this one. Texas A&M, a last four in from Joe Lunardi. This is a lot of bubble, a lot of bubble implications today. Texas A&M, 5.5-point dogs against Kentucky. And Florida, who we also had a lot of folks talk about as a long shot, to Mike Somich all over Florida to win the SEC tournament and beyond. They're 3.5-point dogs against Alabama in the final of the quarters. And then the last two conferences, the SWAC, Bethune-Cookman 20-1 dogs to win this tournament pre-flop. 2.5-point dogs against Grambling, Alabama A&M 60-1 pre-flop in this tournament. 4.5-point dogs against Texas Southern. And then in the whack, Seattle and Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon was the pre-flop favorite to win the whack at minus 145. They're 4.5-point favorites against Seattle today. And Texas Arlington, Kelly, 1.5-point favorites against Tarleton State. Remember, with Tarleton State, as we talked about.
State of Texas.
We did mention that as well in a trivia question that you asked me. Nailed it, by the way. Tarleton State, the one team here still alive today in the respective tournaments that cannot go to the big dance, ineligible because of transferring up to D1
The
NCAA's ridiculous 45-year rule where you have to wait. I believe it's four.
I still don't get the reasoning behind the rule.
There is no reason.
I would really like an explanation of that, because like, if you get promoted, you shouldn't you have the rights of every other team that you're promoted amongst?
No, apparently you need 4 years to really acclimate.
It's like the Premier League when they promote teams and relegate teams. Then it's like, well, you get promoted, but like, hey, you can't win at this.
That was the big thing we were talking about. Wagner, of all the long shots that have already advanced to the big dance, Wagner so far, a 20-1 shot, was the longest in the Northeast. Remember, they beat Merrimack. Merrimack was the team that would have gone last year, but because of the transfer, couldn't. So Merrimack was on the cusp of doing it. Their hearts broke.
Especially like schools like that, right? Like, I mean, like, the fan bases would be going nuts at the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament.
Anyway, that's the day in college basketball game. We will have Ben Wilson, Dallin Cuff, and Chris Velika chiming in on this. We'll do the formula in a minute. All those implications, though, not just the ATS, but for those who have long shot plays, but really the last four in, the last four out, and the next four out, this thing is super unsettled heading into Selection Sunday, at least at this moment, with bids being stolen already and maybe still to come. Coming back, championship formula next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? What the heck are you waiting for? Create a free account today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Week. That is this week, leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek. Get full VSiN Pro access now through March 17th, that's this Selection Sunday, 2 days from now. That's VSIN.com/champweek. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly, B21. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. He is the host of the Bear Bets podcast. He plies his trade over at Fox Sports, and I know for a fact he has a Wyndham Clark to win this tournament as a 45 or 50-1 long shot. Good on him right now with Clark leading the tournament. It's Chris Velika, everybody, the Bear. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good seeing you and Chrissy last night for dinner. So I'm still full from the Italian barrage that we had there last night. Wyndham Clark off to a good start, so it gives us hopefully a nice little weekend sweat, in addition to hopefully the horse racing tournament that gets underway at the horseshoe today.
Yeah, it's by the way, Chris comes to us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. It was an Italian barcanada is what it was, not an Italian barrage. I just want to make that clear. All right, let's start with this. Since you bring up the horsies, can I call them horsies? You're here for the National Horse Racing Contest, and it begins today. Is it about to start? Is that what happens?
Well, yeah, yesterday was what they call the first chance, last chance tournaments. Basically, if you had not qualified for this year, it was your last opportunity to win a seat into the competition for this weekend. If you had already qualified, it was an opportunity to get a qualified for next year already. So I figured I may as well take a shot at that. It didn't happen. I had six horses run second at 6-1 or better. So it was one of those days with some fluky results. But you know what? I'm happy to get those type of beats out of the way yesterday.
How that works? Yes.
Yeah. You get the fluky results out of the way, get the cap horses out of the way. And now today begins the three-day competition. Today and tomorrow are the first 2 days after Saturday, the top 10% advance Sunday. And those people are guaranteed getting paid paid out. I think they closed at 715 people or something like that. So that like the top 71 will advance after Saturday. So
yes,
mythical $2 win place bet on a horse, and best bankroll be it.
Watch out for that Somich kid. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I ran into Mike yesterday. So he's in it as well. So hopefully he had a good day in hoops as well. I know we did the day before, so I'll check in with them when I get over there.
Okay, so let me just clarify this. Are you able to give a horse play? Is that what it did? Horse play or two here, or is that going to lose some competitive advantage?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be competitive disadvantage. I'll be honest with you. I literally have a sheet of paper like this with a whole bunch of things written in on it.
Okay.
So like I couldn't even pick one that in particular was great. So it's one of those things, like once you get in the room, you kind of got to notice names on the leaderboard and who may be there and who not. And you're like, okay, they're there. So they're off to a good start. They called a long shot. And you just kind of know the way people treat it as like an ROI competition. All right. As opposed to necessarily picking winners.
Before we go to soccer and in college hoops, Kelly was wondering earlier, can he enter the room just as a spectator?
And yeah, would it even be involved?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
You used to be able to bring people in, but just because of seating and keeping it tight, I you might be able to look online. I mean, they do post a lot of video clips and such. But you used to, everyone used to be in old Bally's area. With where the sport used to be on the incline, you used to be able to get in there and look. But yeah, now the way the seating is in the ballroom at the convention here with space being limited, yeah, unfortunately you can't get in and watch. But I'll tell you what, that rush in the room when there's a long shot coming home and the favorite might be vulnerable, it's pretty cool to see. So hopefully I get off to a good start today and we'll have good news to update over the weekend.
Chris, all I'm saying is you're a busy man. You clearly need an assistant. They should understand that. Yes. I'm happy to be there, being Adam Schefter handling phones or anything we got to do. You know, I'm happy to help out. That's all I'm saying.
Kelly, it will be great. You can run the hoops bets today. I could take care of the horses. You can go grab me a slice of pizza. Perfect. Just come hang out.
There is nothing more entertaining than watching Chris Felica betting on a horse.
I would love to check this out.
The stretch. It is hilarious.
I would love to check this out. Yeah. I also believe you, though, Gil, that after probably 37 minutes, I'd be like, all right, I'm tired.
That's
of this.
Good. All right, soccer, what do you got for us?
I saw the Champions League and the Europa League draws were today, and the only reason I know Liverpool drew at Atlanta. And they should be able to take care of them in the quarterfinal. Some Man City drew Real Madrid, which if you have a City future, that's probably the one team that's left that could beat them. So like I was talking about last week, it's probably a good time to get on a City future still. But when they post Europa League odds to win again, I don't see anybody left that's going to be able to beat Liverpool and at least keep them from getting to the final. The way they're getting healthy now, they'll be a considerable favorite against Atlanta in the quarterfinals. So just with two rounds to get, like whatever Liverpool is to win Europa League, will probably be pretty short. Again, that'll be a ticket you'd want to have. And then for a match today, I think it's at 1:00 Pacific. You have your Dion Paris. I'm going to go with Cadiz. Cadiz, and as you know, it's not pronounced Cadiz.
Yeah,
that's not pronounced Cadiz. It's Cadiz.
Cadiz.
The way you pronounce
Cadiz.
It. Playing Cadiz. Ray play they play Real Sociedad. Cadiz is right on the relegation line. 14 road matches this year. They've scored 7 goals. Soci is one of the better defensive teams in the league. They kind of struggling lately. They're right on one of those European positions. So. I played Cadiz under a half goal throughout this 1 year. So you can play Soch to win to nil as well if you're looking for a little shorter price. But Cadiz under a half a goal is what I like to play in soccer.
I love that he goes Cadiz, but with Real Sociedad, he goes Soch. I love that. Soch. Okay. College hoops, what a day, what a week it is. What do you like today?
Well, as you know, last night I had to walk out and do a radio interview, so I apologize for that. And kicking around,
so rude.
Looking for a laugh. I'm such a rude guest and a rude
fan. Yeah.
And They kept me for 2 seconds, but that's okay. Landed on three things today. North Carolina -7.5. I think you look at Pitt, they're a perimeter-oriented team, and UNC with one of the better perimeter defenses in the country. With Duke out of the way now, it's kind of a clear path for the Tar Heels to win this ACC tournament. So UNC -7.5. You can actually get a better number. I'm going to go Gil Davis on you right now. You can actually get a better number on Western now than you could last night. I like Pats +4 against Wisconsin. They lost a semi-competitive game earlier this year against the Badgers. And Wisconsin yesterday, that was kind of a perfect storm. You had a Maryland team that was ready to basically end the season with the way they've been playing.
Nice of them to show.
Wisconsin that was shot ungodly from three-point range. That probably won't happen again. So I like Northwestern +4. And then I like Michigan State +4 in the first half against Purdue. We saw teams like UConn even come out yesterday, kind of sleepwalk through the first half a little bit. One of the earlier starts today, you had Michigan State play yesterday. They played a good second half to get past Minnesota. They're going to be in the tournament, but you wonder if Purdue might kind of come out and sleepwalk a little bit and get a slow start early on in that gym with Michigan State already having a game under their leg. So took Spartans +4 in the first half.
Well, I like what you said about BYU last night. I know it's a random thought, but we had this conversation last night. BYU losing in typical BYU fashion. They fall behind, they make a run, they fall behind again. By the way, when they're up, they also let the other team make a run.
Yes.
But you actually think for a team like that, losing and losing some seeding in the big dance ain't a bad thing?
No, it's not. You if you're on that like 4 or 5 line, which is probably around where they were, you'd much rather be on that 6 or 7 line to avoid necessarily playing one of the one seeds in that second round or in the Sweet 16. So I think maybe BYU losing, getting that bad shooting performance out of the way might help them in seeding, just like it might help a team like Gonzaga. Like, I mean, we've seen some seeding, maybe they were around a 9 seed or so. Gonzaga, if they could fall to a 10 or an 11 seed, that might be beneficial to them as well to kind of avoid that top side of the regional cup tournament time. So much rather play be on that 2-3 side on the bottom, I think, especially this year with some of the teams that you're looking at potentially being those 2 or 3 seeds.
All right, Chris, good luck with the horses today. May you and Samich both cash.
Let's go.
Let's go. Chris Falika, everybody, at Chris Falika, FALLICA on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod over there at Fox Sports. Thank you, sir, as always.
Take care, guys.
We'll come back. NFL draft props, rather. Kelly made a bet. We got some to got a bunch to go through. Let's do that on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. Thank you very much. What a day of college hoops awaits us. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us to talk all things that he is betting, as will Ben Wilson. Oh, graced by the presence of Ben Wilson a little later on the show.
The Today Show. Can't get over that.
Kid was on the Today Show. It's big time. We're always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show with us, and we're just talking off air. We're going to get the whole list. He works at ESPN. We know that he works at Daily Wager. We see him all day doing studio shows, and then he has this whole other life in the mornings that we were unaware of. It's the great Dallin Cuff. How you doing, Dallin?
I'm very good. Yes, I'm at the Ivy League tournament right now. The games are semifinals tomorrow. Finals are on Sunday, so excited to call them. And I know you asked, so I'll give you the full rundown. We do college basketball analyst, college basketball hosting, college basketball game analyst, college basketball play-by-play, which I'll be calling tomorrow. My partner, Noah Savage, who I played against in the league, will be my analyst, play-by-play for soccer. A lot of betting stuff across sports, writing, and radio hosts or radio guests or whatever I was going to say on radio. There you go. I think that's basically it. Oh, podcast host. There you go. That's all of it.
Dallin comes to us. Dallin comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Well, you mentioned the Ivy League tournament, so why don't we start there? Your alma mater, Columbia, not in the four team tournament, so we lament that. But it is Princeton and Brown. It's Yale and Cornell. Break it down for us, if you would, sir.
Guys, this league is better than it's ever been. And there are three teams here, Princeton, Yale, and Cornell. If any one of them wins, remember, everybody remembers what Princeton did last year. They are capable, all three of the teams are capable of winning one, maybe two games in the league. As it relates to Princeton, they did it last year. I think they can do it again. They've got two great young sophomores, maybe in the league, and Caden Pierce. Pierce played an integral role in that team last year, player of the year in the league. This year, the team that value, though, is really on Cornell to win the tournament. They're plus 350. They play Cornell, they play Yale in the opening round. And then if they win, they play Princeton or Brown, likely Princeton. Why they're value on them is it's 3.5 to 1. All these teams split with each other. Yale had Cornell. Cornell had Yale on the ropes in New Haven and fell apart down the stretch. They beat them at home. They split with Princeton as well. And when I look at the numbers, it just doesn't – any one of these three can win. As I just said, maybe one of the three can succeed. But for Princeton to be even money right now, I think Yale may be 2 to 1 now. It's moved down from above a buck 50. But for them to get 3.5 times your money when I think they could even win, like, it's any one of those three. So I just think there's a ton of value right now on Cornell in a neutral site. We're not playing at home sites, which is a great equalizer. And Cornell, the way they play, they press you. They play real deep, 9-10 guys. They all can make threes. And they have guys that are great drivers. You have to respect it, so they put them in deck and score. And like, anytime you want to win in the NCAA tournament, unique system, be able to make threes, be able to make free throws is critical. They have two of those three very, very well. Free throws sometimes can be shaky with Cornell. But if they get in, they can do it. But like I said, I mean, one of the three. But there's your value on the tournament is the big red.
All right. Ivy, the final conference tournament to start as per tradition. Of all the other conferences that are still going on, and we are strewn with college basketball today, 36 games, some conferences in their quarters, but most in their semis. I was going through the pre-flop long shots that are still alive. Is there a, you know, long shot that exists in any one of these other conferences or two that you think is live still to win their tournament?
Two that I carry a ticket for that I really love and I'm still in them is Florida. 18 to 1 was where I got it. You think we opened maybe a 20 to 1 in the SEC. I like them plus 4 with Bama today. I think the way that Todd Golden has developed this team, the bigs have really improved for the course of the year. They've got shot blocking, all elite offensive rebounding, and Tyrese Samuel can make some moves in the post. Condon can make some threes. They also have elite guards, but Walter Clayton is outstanding. Zion Pullen, transfer from UC Riverside, has been great. Like these, they have the components and they've improved through the year and they have wins now against some of all these teams, all the best teams in the SEC minus Tennessee. I think that that's a great value for a team that could run it. Granted, it's 4 and 4 days. They have an extra day of playing based on where they were seated, but I like their path to potentially get to the final. I think it's them or Kentucky out of the bottom of that bracket. I know Tennessee can do it, but I think the value is on them or Kentucky, who was, I believe, around 4 to 1 when it opened up, when it was before the tournament tipped off in the SEC. The other tournament is not one of the bigger ones, but we've already seen the chaos. I covered it all year long in the A-10 with VCU. They were plus 900 as a 5 seed in the A-10. The A-10 was the most open tournament, and we've seen it. Guys, all 4 of the top seeds are gone.
Yeah.
Like they're all out. So it's like it's in complete chaos. And the thing is, too, we always wonder with some of these tournaments with the I-majors, who's motivated? What does it really mean to them? I'm looking forward to next week. Everybody in the A-10 outside of Dayton, and Dayton obviously lost to Duquesne. It's a one-bid league. So these teams are playing for their life. Like, there's no question of motivation. And VCU now, I think, they had a good path before. I love where they're at right now. So I know that number has significantly come down. But those are the two more, quote-unquote, long shots that I liked before that are still alive, and now things, I think, are opening up, at least for the Rams.
I like it, and these conference tournament schedules are always quirky, so the A-10 resumes tomorrow. No A-10 games today. Yeah, it's really stupid. That's a problem.
Well, I understand, but Bernadette, I understand why they did it. Their commissioner, Bernadette, because she's worked on the committee. She knows they do a lot of the bracketing and stuff on Friday. So her thought in that, their league thought, is if you have it on Friday – I'm sorry, they do their stuff on the weekend. You want to have everything locked on the Friday. So they know that who the final four are, so they can bracket. And if there's years when they usually have that large bid, you have a better chance of putting them on the right seed line, knowing who those four teams are, versus pushing it one day further and having your final four on set, like not knowing the quarterfinals tonight, semifinals tomorrow, final Sunday. They can't move those Saturday and Sunday because of contractual TV obligations. So they moved everything up to give the committee time. I get it intellectually. It hurts the top seeds who all lost, because you get a day off in the middle of the tournament. It doesn't reward anybody for the regular season, and it also loses a little bit of momentum. But I understand why they did it. I still don't agree with it.
All right, so less stupid than initially reported here on the show about a minute and a half ago.
Well, I said it. Bear in mind, you took my lead. I said stupid first, and then you repeated it. So that's my fault.
No, I'm totally playing. All right, anything ATS beyond the ones you've just mentioned today?
Beyond the ones I've mentioned today, bear in mind, Purdue opened at 5.5 last night. Guys, I think it was last night I saw it. I about fell out of my chair. Like, I think I saw the line change in my, like, in the moment that I placed it. It was at 6.5, but I think it's 7.5 now.
Yeah.
Again, I mentioned the Florida before. I'm trying to think off of South Carolina getting 7.5 is a team that I think this is, the computers don't value them because they don't, the metrics aren't exactly like what everybody wants, but the results are the results for these guys, man. They grind you. They make you play a half court game and are extremely well coached. Congratulations to Lon Paris on his extension and coach of the year. So I like South Carolina in that matchup with Auburn. I think they can keep it within the number. The Houston team total under, you guys keep me honest here. It was 62.5. I think it was last night when I played early this morning. It was my radio show at 6 a.m. I think it was 62.5 then. I don't know what it is now, but their team total under for Texas Tech, excuse me. So betting on Houston's defense there. I think Providence can carry it forward with Gimme 5 today and without Tyler Kolick. And it was hell of an effort by Marquette. And I love the fact that Marquette, when they went to overtime guys last night, that huddle, when they cut to them, they were like, next play, let's go win this game again. They exude the toughness of Shaka Smart mentally and physically. But Kim English has got a special group down there, and you got Aduro and Carter. Give me those 5 points. I'm feeling like today I'm gobbling up points. I already mentioned UF. I'm on the NC State train. I am out on UVA. I've watched too many games, guys. It's been the last 12 games of watching them play.
Oh,
like, I cannot back them. And they snuck away covering yesterday, too, which was painful.
Amazing.
But they covered it over time. When that shot went in regulation, I'm like, I'm done. They're kind of like, we're cooked. So it couldn't get out with taking my 5.5 points at that point in time. Like NC State, I had it at +3. The one big favorite I have today is Arizona. I think Arizona is just going to – I'm not sure where Oregon's at mentally. Their season's pretty much over. I don't think they believe they can win that game. And when Arizona is revved up to play, they're as good as everybody. They're as good as anybody. And they wanted retribution on their mind against USC yesterday. We saw what happens there. I think with Oregon, I think they come out here and try to continue to lay a statement and try to maintain a level. So I'm going to go to 11 with Arizona.
All right. By the way, Houston 70, Texas Tech 61, thereabouts for team totals today in that ballgame. Okay.
The Red Raiders team total under is what we're talking about.
Team total under. Okay. Yeah. 61. All right. Yeah. Before we go here, just a couple more minutes. Let me just ask you some big dance questions. I was just saying this out loud the previous segment. Okay. Most people, if I said, all right, who's the team you trust? Who's your number one team in the country? Most people would say UConn. And I think if I extended it to two, most people would say Houston. If that is, in fact, your one and two, who's your three?
Ooh, that's when it gets dicey. Because, yeah, guys, I'm not on the Purdue train. I think they're great money to win this tournament. They were even money to win the Big Ten, which shocked me, in all honesty. Because I think they're built to win that league. I don't think they're built to play other places as much. I don't think you're built as much around Edie. Any foul trouble is a problem. I would say Tennessee. Tennessee, probably, because I do think you have a true wing stud in Dalton Connect. They do guard you. They play on both sides of the ball. And Zakai Ziegler has progressed. Jonas Adu has really progressed. They've gotten better offensively. That doesn't totally rely on him. But when you need to make a play, he can just go get you a bucket. And in the same vein, North Carolina is right there as well in terms of being able to play defense at an elite level, but then offensively having options. Can they play through Baycott, Harrison Ingram, and then you have the ACC Player of the Year and R.J. Davis that can go get you a bucket or create one for a teammate. So those are the two teams I trust the most. Ironically, the one team, the last time I put in that bucket of trust in terms of their product is Kentucky. Like, you know they're going to score. They can score better than anybody in the country. The question is, are they going to defend it all even a little bit to get them win? And I think you're starting to see the mentality change. They've won from 7 of 8 in that Arkansas game. They were down 9 about 9 minutes ago. They flipped the switch and they were kind of locked in. Since then, the defenses have been a little bit better. And if they just carry that forward, I'm interested to see how they perform in this tournament with some urgency and some focus on that side of the ball. We know on the offensive side of the ball, they are better than anybody. That is inarguable in college basketball. If they guard at a decent level, then I trust the product they're able to put forward is to outscore some teams and get some stops enough to get deep in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to win it all, but get deep.
You may have just beat me to my final question. We only have 30 seconds left, Dallin, because I was going to ask of the group that is not amongst the usual suspects at the top of college basketball, and obviously we don't know the brackets quite yet. We don't know the path. What team or teams is one that you could see making a deep run? Kentucky is obviously one you just mentioned. Is there another one real quick?
Yeah, my bias is there from the beginning of the year. I got a 24-1 ticket on Illinois to the Final Four. And I think that they had, when Coleman Hawkins is stretched 5 the way he is, Damascus has been way better than I even knew he could be back then. I was betting more on Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins in a veteran group. So I'm going to keep it going with Illinois. I think that's a team that could get it done and get to the Phoenix.
All right, might as well, shouldn't jump off now if you had him the whole distance. Dallin, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Dallin,
be well, fella.
Dallin Cuff, everybody, college basketball analyst at ESPN, and so much more courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Yeah, awesome stuff with Dallin, as always.
Busy man, just got off the air, jumped on with us, going to do something else right
now. Ivy League practice, yeah.
Yeah. NBA talk. We'll update the Players Championship. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.